everyone, this is Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Everything is Football. Don't go away.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another EIF podcast. My name is Tomas Roussel, and today I'm joined by a very special guest. I've been looking forward to this one for quite a while now. He is someone you may know from the United Stand, from one of his many viral clips on Twitter or YouTube. Mark Goldbridge, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you're well.
Absolutely. And like I said, I've been looking forward to this one for quite a while now. I know everyone at EIF has. And it's not every day we get to chat United here. I know a lot of our followers have been asking for more United content. So obviously, you're the perfect person for that. And yeah, let's get started. And what better place than really looking at the overall season for United so far? You guys are currently sitting in seventh place, I believe. 5 points above Crystal Palace in 14th, but at the same time, only 6 points behind Chelsea in fourth place. So, Mark, if you look at the overall season so far, taking aside all the stuff off the field, just with on the field, how do you feel so far about how United have done?
I mean, it should be 4 points off Chelsea if we'd beaten Wolves at the weekend, which I think we expected to do, but I think Chelsea have opened the door so many times to us and we just can't open it. So I'd say all in all, it's been a very disappointing season. I look back to August when the transfer window closed and I was adamant that we were going to sign Bruno in the summer. And I think we should have got Bruno Fernandes in the summer. So I sort of predicted at the start of the season that I would be surprised if we would finish sort of any higher than maybe fifth or sixth. And that's sort of a rod that some United fans are using as an excuse towards the situation now to say, well, we expected this. Having said that, I don't, you know, you predict something at the start of the season based on the facts in front of you. And I thought the top four this year would be comfortably Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal and Spurs. And it's not transpired like that at all. I thought Chelsea would have a difficult season and I didn't expect Leicester to be there. And I think the quality in the Premier League this year is not what I expected it to be. Away from Liverpool, I think everybody's had a bad season in their own way. Talk about Chelsea, I think they've lost 8 games this season, yet they're comfortably in fourth. So the opportunity was there for Manchester United in what I thought was going to be a difficult season to do far better than they have. But we are riddled with inconsistency and confusion. And I don't think we've actually hit the bottom of the barrel yet. I still think there's more sliding to do.
And you mentioned Bruno Fernandes, of course, you know, linked with United for quite a while. I know you're probably one of the biggest proponents for bringing him in all the way back in the summer. The deal finally happened, but, you know, I've seen a lot of United fans complaining that why didn't we just do this earlier? If we didn't do it in the summer, why didn't we just do it in the beginning of the January window? Instead, we've left it late, and now, you know, that's 5-6 games that he could have played in that he didn't take part in. So from your perspective, why do you think that deal took so long to complete? And do you think that had he come a little earlier, say in the beginning of the January window, do you think you guys could be in top four already, maybe 2-3 points behind? How much of a difference would he have made in that time span?
I think the game for me was Burnley. I expected him to maybe be in for the Liverpool game, which ultimately wouldn't have made much of a difference. I think we wouldn't have beaten Liverpool anyway with Bruno. But the game against Burnley, which we lost in the midweek, Bruno should have been in for that. And I don't know, anything can happen. Maybe we still would have lost it, but we would have had a much better chance. And if we'd taken 3 points off them, we'd be 3 points behind Chelsea. And that's a far more palatable top four race than what it is at the moment. I've got no concrete reason as to why Manchester United took all of the January transfer window to sign Bruno Fernandes when it could have been done on the 1st of January. I know that what the club put out in the summer that they weren't actually in for him was inaccurate. They spent all last season scouting him. I think what happens with Manchester United is they're very slow at doing deals, as we've seen again in January. And they prioritised positions that realistically have been good. Wan-Bissaka's been a good signing. Harry Maguire's been a good signing. But we lost Herrera and Fellaini last season and we didn't replace them. We should have got Bruno in the summer. I believe that Manchester United have massive money issues. We're riddled with debt. Our owners bought us to make money, not to make a great football team. I think that was part of the attraction. But I don't think that they have an appetite to maybe spend £400 million to make us, you know, title contenders when they could just keep ticking along, taking the money out of the club. And ultimately, I believe that the Bruno Fernandes deal took so long because, again, it was about saving a million here and there instead of actually getting a player that could make the club £50 million in May if we qualify for the Champions League. So I'm very happy with the signing, but I think there are still major concerns about how the club is run and where we're going.
Yeah, and sadly, as a Chelsea fan, I can relate because, you know, at least you guys were able to bring a player in, whereas we're over here penny-pinching for Edinson Cavani and Mertens and ended up with no one. So it's not easy when you see something like that, especially with the revenue these clubs bring in to be, you know, haggling over 5-10 million sometimes just doesn't even make sense. But, you know, Bruno Fernandes comes in, like you said, a little late in the window, later than people would have liked. But overall, are you happy with the window of just Bruno Fernandes? Do you think that's enough to maybe push for top four? I know, obviously, injuries are also a factor. But is that enough for top four? Or do you think that maybe you guys still needed another player, even though it's January? You guys should have maybe gone on for 1-2 more players.
Well, we got Igalo in on loan on the last day, which has excited a lot of United fans. I mean, I think from the fact that he's a Manchester United fan and Nigerian, and Nigeria is massive into football, so it's generated a lot of, I mean, massive population in Nigeria as well. So it's generated a lot of interest and excitement around the club. I'd heard throughout January that we were only looking at loan deals, and you mentioned Chelsea there, and I must admit, as a neutral to your situation, or actually hoping you do badly so that maybe we can get top four, because my dad supports Chelsea, I was quite surprised that that they didn't do anything, because I don't think you can say Chelsea are going to get top four, United are going to get top four, Spurs are going to get top four, even maybe Sheffield United. They look very consistent. I think it would be a brave person to predict that fourth spot, because I think Leicester and City and Liverpool have obviously got it on lockdown. So that fourth spot's really important. But who's to say Chelsea won't lose another six games? But I wouldn't have thought that Manchester United would get it, because we've got the Europa League as well. And what Solskjaer's not been great at, in my opinion, is prioritising. He just plays in everything. He seems to pick his strongest team in everything. And that's why we've had the injuries to Pogba and Rashford, because they've been overplayed in games that maybe they could have been rested in. So I think at some point United need to prioritise, but I'm not so sure Solskjaer will. I think top four is probably the hardest one at the moment between the Europa League and that. Have we got enough? Much depends on how good Igalo actually is. I mean, I remember him at Watford. He was a handful, but inconsistent. He's been in China for 3 or 4 years, very different league. I think he's better than nothing. My expectations are low, and therefore he'll probably do okay. But I watch United every week. I think we will struggle to get top four, and our only hope is the inconsistency of others, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned prioritizing. Do you think that maybe, let's say you get through a couple of the rounds in the knockout stages in the Europa League, do you think at that point that's when you say, look, we're maybe 5-6 points out still from top four, we're in the quarterfinals of the Europa League. At that point, do you think, should we just focus on the Europa League? Or is it still one of those that you can't just put all your eggs in one basket until you maybe get to a semi-final or a final?
I remember Mourinho doing it when we won the Europa League, and I thought he was very brave, because we very nearly got knocked out in the semi-finals, and that would have been it. And I remember in the last few games of the season, he was really picking, you know, like virtually a reserve side. I remember us playing Spurs and Arsenal away, and we lost both games. And I think Twansebe, so it was a few years ago, was playing at like right back against people like Sanchez and stuff. So I've always said, I can't be hypocritical on this, I don't believe you can go for top four and win the Europa League. And I think maybe Chelsea did it once, but it's very, very difficult, because you play Thursday, Sunday, that's it. And in the Champions League, you might play Tuesday, Sunday, so you get a bigger break sometimes. But in the Europa League, it's very consistent. Thursday night, Sunday afternoon, if you're lucky. So it's very, very, very demanding. And I think the problem with the Europa League is that you don't realise, it's not like, I think, you know, with all due respect to maybe Chelsea and Spurs in the Champions League, they could be out quite quickly because the quality is high, and you know your situation probably by the end of March. Europa League, we might not know till sort of mid-April whether we're going to do well in that trophy, by which case it might already be too late for top four. So I personally think United should be looking to get their best team out in the Europa League, because Marcus Rashford might be back for the latter stages. Pogba will be coming back around, you know, end of February, March. I just think we should go for the Europa League. I don't think you can do both, not with the squad we've got.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Europa League of Mourinho. I still remember to this day that miss by John Guidetti at the... Or I don't know if it was you. Yeah, that, I mean, that was one of those. But I mean, when it's your turn, when it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And that final was probably one of the famous Mourinho masterclasses that people look back on. And I remember people laughing at the time, saying, "Oh, you had to do this against a bunch of kids." Well, those kids 2 years later went on to, you know, shock the world in the Champions League. So, you know, it's not all that bad when you look back on it. Moving on, really, though, to the managerial situation, which I know is it has a lot of people split when it comes to should Ole stay, should Ole go, how much fault does he have? In your opinion, first of all, do you think he deserves to stay on for another season or two, depending on how he finishes up this season? And regardless of that, how much at fault is Ole? And how much is it really just issues above him, and he's maybe just a bit of a puppet for the board and yeah, the people above him?
I think coming into the season, as I was saying, the expectation was probably fifth or sixth, and that's too low for a club like Manchester United. And myself and many fans were sort of aiming that frustration at the board and Ed Woodward, because there has been a... I think there's been a lack of investment. Some people would say there isn't, but there's certainly been a lack of structure around recruitment and a lack of a director of football and direction. So Solskjaer sort of came into it still. We had a bad end to last season, but I still think that the first 3 months he had were signs of hope. And I think this season, not many people felt that that Ollie out would become a thing. But the problem is, Ollie's been sort of the master of his own downfall, really, because in a situation where he could quite easily still be in the job and everyone blaming it on Woodward and the Glazers, which they are anyway, he's also brought a lot of scrutiny onto himself because of poor performances, poor tactics, very poor philosophy, if there is one. I mean, we basically crave a team that plays football. And I've used Lampard and I've used Brendan Rodgers as examples of managers that have been in a shorter period of time. And all right, you know, some of the results have been mixed, but you can definitely see what their philosophy is in relation to the way they want to play football. As Manchester United fans, we don't know what that is with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and he's been here over a year. He seems to want to play this counter-attacking football, which, I mean, I don't even consider that a style of football. I think it's a style you play. If you're a lower end side, you know, you basically are in the hands of the opposition. You let them play their way and try and hit them on the break. And that to me is not a way to play football. So I think tactical naivety has been exposed by Solskjaer and his coaching staff this year. What I would say is I do believe that he should. I think the Bruno Fernandes signing is a positive. Pogba being back soon will be a positive. McTominay as well. And I just think that where we are, he may as well be given until May. So my opinion is, let's give Solskjaer until May, nothing longer. And if we get Champions League football, then of course he must get another season. If he doesn't and we continue with the same performances, then I think there needs to be a change in the summer. Because I would argue with anybody who says that's harsh. He's had more chances than any manager. I know he's not been there that long, but this is the worst season we've ever had since 1989. So it's 30 years. Their football's dreadful. I think if he wasn't Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Manchester United legend, he would have been forced out by the fans way before now. So I think he's had a lot of chances and he's produced some pretty dire football. But I would give him till May. I don't think sacking him now. I don't want another interim manager. I think the replacement opportunities aren't going to take the job until May anyway, quite rightly. So let's give him till May and let's see what happens. And if he does turn it around, then he gets another season. And if he doesn't, I think it's time to part ways.
And let's assume you guys finish outside top four and it doesn't really go too great in the Europa League. Is Pochettino the dream appointment if Ole leaves, or is there someone else maybe that you'd like to see United give a chance to?
I think it will be Pochettino. From what I've heard, there has been discussions going on with Pochettino. It reminds me a lot of the Van Gaal situation when we knew Mourinho was available and there was a lot of noise around Mourinho from January till he took the job in May, won the FA Cup, and the next day Van Gaal was gone, even though he missed out on top four by goal difference, I think. So it was fine margins, and we did move Van Gaal on, which is the only manager I think in the last 6 years that I maybe would think maybe we should have given him a bit longer. I certainly think Mourinho should have been sacked and Moyes. So yeah, there are similarities there, and I pretty much would think the club will go for Pochettino. Would I go for Pochettino? I have my reservations. I think he'd be better than the current setup because he's an established, proven coach, especially in the Premier League. I'm not convinced that his brand of football would be endearing to United principles of the past in relation to wing play and what have you, but that might not be a bad thing. I do believe there are other coaches out there that would be viable options. The Ajax coach, for one. There's a couple in Germany. I personally would like to see Manchester United go for the next big thing, really. You know, then give someone like that a go. Pochettino sort of established himself at Spurs. But I think it will be Pochettino. And I would certainly give him a chance. I mean, ultimately, he got the sack having been given money. Without money, he was Champions League runner-up and, you know, nearly a couple of times got them really into Premier League races. So I know he's never won anything, but he's not been far off.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about polarizing figures, there's obviously the whole Ole situation, but one that seems to be going on every season, and this season, I guess, really picked up even more steam, is the whole Pogba situation. And, you know, obviously, there's been injury issues this season, but at the same time, we keep seeing, oh, Pogba wants to leave in the summer, Pogba wants to go to Real Madrid. What do you make of the whole Pogba situation? And do you think that he stays beyond the season? Is there any chance of that? And if he is to come back, will he be able to make a massive impact? Or is it one of those that his heart's already perhaps, you know, thinking of a move elsewhere and he's not going to be the Pogba that some people expect?
I think it's interesting with Pogba because I think he will come back. We had some rumours before Christmas. Some United fans felt we'd never see him in a United shirt again. But ultimately, if he wants the move, he's got to play for the move. And he also has the Euros and he loves playing for France. So he will be back unless he obviously gets another injury. I think he will be back for the last couple of months of the season, which could be massive for Manchester United because you say, like, what's his impact? If you look at what Pogba does, assists and goals, creates more chances than anybody in that United team over the last couple of years. So he would be, in a team that struggles to create chances, pretty important. You make a good point about his mindset. I mean, that is always going to be an issue in high-end football, because if his head's not quite right, then that could impact on him. We're hearing, it was around yesterday, that again, that he's looking to go. I think he needs to go. A lot of United fans don't like him. A lot of United fans love him. I sort of sit on the fence of the fact that I think I really like him as a footballer, but I think that the experiment at United hasn't worked. He came in when we were in the Europa League, and he should have gone out when we were in the Europa League last summer. But the club made the decision that they weren't going to bring any midfielders in. They were going to force him to stay and adhere to his contract, and it backfired massively. So I sort of sympathise with Pogba's situation. I think he made it very clear last summer that he wanted to go, and the club made it very clear that they weren't going to sell him, and that's always a risk, and it has backfired because he's hardly played this season. But I understand why he wanted to go. I think that it hadn't worked out. I don't really bear him any malice in relation to going. If we can get a good fee for him, I would hope that he goes, because that would, on a personal level, that would make me respect him more, because the fact that he wants to go and better himself, winning titles and playing in the Champions League. If he stayed at Manchester United, I think it would be more about Manchester United finding him a load of money and him staying for money, which I don't think benefits anybody. So I think Pogba going in the summer could be good for everybody, really.
And you mentioned that obviously he's going to be most likely coming back, bar any possible setbacks. Once he's fully fit, what do you see as the ideal midfield for United? Do you maybe see Bruno playing a bit further up with Pogba and someone else in a double pivot? Or do you think maybe a three-man midfield, Pogba, Bruno, and maybe Matic or Fred could give the best balance to the side?
Well, this is it with Solskjaer. His tactics and philosophy are so against and confusing Manchester United fans, really, because when he first came in and he got the job on playing one holding midfielder in a midfield three, and you had Herrera box to box, and then you had Pogba box to box on the left-hand side. And then this season, he's never gone back to that. He's gone to two holding midfielders, essentially. And that was Paul Pogba at the start of the season, who is miles away from where he can cause the damage. I mean, he can hit the 40, 50-yard passes and create things, but you want Pogba in and around the opposition's penalty box. So I would like, and Bruno Fernandes on his debut played 20 minutes in a position he plays, and then, over an hour as a holding midfielder, which is not what he is. So that's the confusion that Solskjaer generates around his positional tactics of key players. I would like to see one holding midfielder with Pogba to the left of them and Bruno to the right in a more box-to-box position. Who the holding midfielder would be, where you've got Fred playing well, Matic can do it, and McTominay back. But I just think United this season, it's been very hard to watch. So, you know, let's move away from this defensive hitting teams on the counter and use the, you know, unquestionable talents of Pogba and Bruno Fernandes in relation to goals and assists, and try and win games and entertain fans, because that may well be the last throw of the dice for Solskjaer. I just don't know whether he would do that.
Yeah, and when you mentioned maybe being a bit riskier and going for it, one guy that comes to mind for me is Mason Greenwood. Obviously, doesn't factor into the midfield, but when I look at Mason, at least, it's been good to see him get quite a few chances this season, but I still feel like, from an outside perspective, that as good as he is, and as much as United have struggled, he should probably still be playing more than he has. Do you think Mason has been given the appropriate amount of playing time? Do you think, in the current situation United are in, that he should perhaps be starting on the right, with maybe Rashford on the left and Martial up top? How do you see the whole Mason Greenwood situation playing out for the rest of the season? And how do you feel about how Ole has integrated him this season?
I think at times I've agreed with Solskjaer's use of him. I think in recent weeks I can't really have any complaints, but I certainly think that the first 3-4 months of the season there were opportunities to play him more, and he didn't. He seemed to, you know, venture more towards experienced players like Lingard and Mata and Pereira, when I think Greenwood should have been given game time. I think at the moment, when you use Anthony Martial as an example, a player who I think's had a good season in difficult circumstances, but has had probably a bad 2 or 3 weeks, and is now facing a barrage of criticism from the media and United fans, I think that, you know, actually keeping Mason Greenwood out of that is probably not a bad thing. I don't think he's quite ready to start games for United in the Premier League yet. I think he's a player that tends to do well off the bench in the last sort of 20-30 minutes, assuming we're actually doing anything around the opposition's box, and that is the problem that United need to solve. It's the reason Dan James and Martial and Greenwood do drift out of games, is because of our inability in the final third. But I think Greenwood could have had more game time at the start. Hopefully he will get more game time now in the last few months of the season with Rashford out. I think he's the go-to guy off the bench. And Brandon Williams has played a lot of games at left back with Luke Shaw fit. So hopefully Ollie will use that mindset with Mason Greenwood a little bit more and trust him just to, you know, get him involved in the games in the last 3 months, because there's going to be a lot of games, and I think he's got a lot to offer. And sometimes as a young player, all right, you might have a quiet game, but what they learn from that, because that's what it's all about for Mason Greenwood now. It's about adjusting and learning against the best teams in the league.
And looking forward to his career, maybe in 3 to 5 years, do you think he can maybe go on to be, not necessarily United great, but someone who can be starting for United for years to come? Or do you perhaps feel like still kind of up in the air and it could go either way, really, when you talk about his future potential?
No, I do think he has got that star quality. I think it's very dangerous to say he's going to be the next sort of Ronaldo or post goals or anything like that, that sort of world-class level. But I do think that looking at the players that we've had coming through over the last 20 years, he has got real star quality. You know, the comparisons with someone like Van Persie are spot on. He does have that sort of that poise on the ball, that left foot. His finishing ability is amazing. Some of the goals he scored out of nothing show a real confidence for his age, but a definite talent there. How good he can be, I don't know. I mean, look, I always say that, you know, if Marcus Rashford has the same career that Andy Cole had at United, or Mason Greenwood has a similar career to, you know, even half a career that someone like Ryan Giggs has, then that's a success. We've been blessed over my lifetime with world-class talents coming through our youth setup. I definitely think that Mason Greenwood will be a player that's in and around the first team for as long as he stays at the club. If he can avoid injury, because it's the same with any youth player. But no, he's definitely got the star quality. And what much depends on now on the stability for him to grow, because a new manager might come in and not use him. I think most Manchester United fans would agree with that. We really have got a talent there, and it's going to be very exciting to see him and a couple of others grow.
And you mentioned his finishing ability. I've probably watched him 4 or 5 times this season, and every time his finishing is not just beyond his years, it's probably some of the best in the Premier League. Just some of the stuff he's been able to hit from outside the box, it's pretty impressive. And then especially the fact that he seems to be primarily left-footed, but at the same time, his right foot is not, you know, it's not too shabby either. So I feel like when you have one of those players, in and of itself, being able to shoot with both feet and then being able to finish from outside the box, that's a difference maker. And really, at least from an outside perspective, I'm excited to see him get more playing time. But moving on to something perhaps a little bit less pleasant, and I know something you talk a lot about and all United fans talk a lot about, is the whole situation of the Glazers. At Woodward, we saw what happened last week with some so-called fans going to his house and throwing stuff into his backyard. Overall, how do you feel about this board? I mean, I think I know the answer to that, but moving forward, do you think this situation can ever be fixed between the fans and Woodward and the Glazers? Or do you think that it's one of those that, look, they have to sell and it will never get to a point where fans are accepting of them?
I mean, I personally believe that, you know, within a lot of scenarios, then second chances are possible. They, unfortunately, as a Manchester United fan, it's one of the worst things that's happened to us. But the business decision, the business acquisition of Manchester United, they made, if it would have been any other club, I would have said wow. But I mean, they bought Manchester United Football Club on debt, and they've taken, I think, £1 billion out of the club. They've made so much money out of our club. And that is a horrible thing for a Manchester United fan to know, because I don't believe they are Manchester United fans. I just think they are businessmen, and they've made money out of our football club, and that's their sole purpose to do that. I think there's two scenarios. Well, there's three, really. The third one is the worst, where nothing happens and we just continue down this road of them taking the money out and as continuing to stagnate. I think the second option is that they sell the club, which I don't think is going to happen anytime soon. I think they may be forced to sell the club if we continue to deteriorate and they see that, you know, the money's drying up. And the other option is the second chance option, where they actually go, you know what, we are going to invest in this football club to make them the best in the world again, and here's the money to do it. Again, probably quite unlikely, but I think if they did do that, if changes were made at the club, director of football, a restructuring of the football club around recruitment and the medical staff, and certainly a very big investment fund to compete and gain ground on our rivals, then I, as a United fan, would always be dubious about how they got hold of the club. But ultimately, what's a new owner? You know, the ideal new owner is going to come in and go, I want Manchester United to be the best team in the world. My priority is on the football pitch, and here is the money to do it. If the Glazers suddenly did that and it was shown that they were doing that, then I wouldn't have an issue with that. I just don't think they will. I don't think that's what their Their ideology is around Manchester United. I think it was the acquisition of an asset and bleeding that asset dry of profits.
Yeah, certainly a hard situation to look at from, you know, from a neutral perspective. So I can't even imagine being a United fan and seeing that happen to your club. But like you said, you never know what could happen. So maybe 2 years' time they're able to turn it around, as doubtful as that may sound. And I mean, hopefully they can, even though I support a technically a bit of a rival club. At the end of the day, I think United being in good shape, both on the pitch and off the pitch, is just good for the league and good for football. So hopefully that's able to turn around. And just before we wrap up, Mark, I have a fan question from a good mate of mine, Eddie Acosta. He's a massive fan of yours. He's a massive United fan. He just wanted me to ask, this is not so much United related, but more about your career and United stand. When you first started with United Stand, did you ever envision it to become as big as it has become? And just from your, I guess, from your perspective as well, just how does it feel with all the love you get from a lot of fans? Obviously, the hate will always be there. That's just part of it when you become as, you know, as well known as you have. But how does it feel to know that so many fans look up to you and, you know, take what you say to them about United and just about what happens with the club? You know, look forward to that every day, really.
I think when I started the United Stand, we used to do just one show a week. And, you know, I remember getting 50 people watching and being really, really happy. And I think, you know, sometimes now you've got thousands watching, and it's a massively humbling thing to start something that really just started off for fans just to have their say and have their opinion, and to see it grow so big. I'm really proud of it. I think that with regards to, I mean, all I look to do, and I'm not a voice for the fans. I don't want to be that. I'm just a fan like anybody else. But what I do like and take pride in as well is the fact that if I say something, I almost like it more if people don't agree with it, but it gets them thinking about something. Because that, what I want is fans to actually start thinking and vocalizing their own thoughts. And I think that over the last 5 years, we've seen that a hell of a lot more with many different sort of media outlets and ways that they can do that. Because football fans are the lifeblood of football. There are no sponsors if there aren't any fans, because it's our eyes they want to see. There is no Sky subscription or BT if there are no fans, because it's our money that they want. There is no Manchester United or Old Trafford if there aren't fans going there. And I think for many years we didn't probably realise that. So I don't know whether whether it's such a good thing for the football clubs and the mainstream media, but they certainly are aware of it. And I think it's good for fans, because football fans have to have an opinion. These are our clubs. This is our sport. And as long as it's done in the right way, then I think that, you know, fan opinion is absolutely superb. So my principles with the United Stand is, look, obviously I'm going to have an opinion, because I'm a football fan like you and everybody else, but people should never take my opinion as, you know, being better than theirs or gospel, because that wasn't, you know, I sort of started the United Stand because I got fed up of Match of the Day and other shows. I felt it was a bit scripted and a bit safe, and I think it didn't really tailor to what I wanted. So with the United Stand, interacting with fans and getting what I call, you know, cliche but real fan opinion, is far more rewarding than what I was finding in the mainstream media. And I think a lot of people have bought into that and enjoy it as well. And I know for a fact that a lot of people don't agree with what I say, but as I say, that to me is great. Because if I say I think Luke Shaw's our number one left back, and people think, no, he's totally wrong, it's Brandon Williams, we should buy someone, well, great, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve there, because people are passionate about their opinion. And I think, you know, every football fan's opinion, if they believe it, is true.
Absolutely. And I, you know, like I said, I'm a massive fan. I know the rest of the crew of EIF Soccer as well, they're all big fans, and we appreciate the work that you do. We might not be United fans, but like you said, it's good to see fans being able to be given a voice, and we've seen it more and more of different clubs as well. And overall, it's really that's something that's needed in the game today. And sometimes you just look at mainstream media outlets and it's just a bit lacking. It's just a bit, like you said, feels scripted, a bit generic. So seeing the rise of these fan channels and what we see on Twitter as well, with football Twitter, there's obviously a lot of negative sides to it, but I always say you find some of the worst people you're ever going to probably come across, but he also come across the most insightful, knowledgeable people that are going to come across. And just because it's on Twitter or because it's on YouTube doesn't mean that there can't be value added or there can't be, you know, valuable insight as well that you perhaps won't find on a Sky Sports or a BT. So, like I've said a couple of times, Mark, I'm a big fan. It's been a pleasure having you on. I was very excited for this, and it's certainly lived up to it. So thank you once again for joining, and we'll be sure to catch up probably towards the end of the season, and we'll be excited to see what goes on if United stand for the remainder of the season.
No, thank you very much. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I just love talking football. So I'm really grateful for having me on, and yeah, I'd love to come on again.
Brilliant. Everyone who listened, thank you very much for taking the time. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at EIF Soccer. And as always, you can find this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Thank you for listening and have a good day. Bye-bye.
Me mistook, I'm sick of playing it by the books. I think we should get a room. Yourself and your shoes ain't off the shelves. You straight out of magazine. Feel things I ain't ever felt.